Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Good morning, Kirk of the Hills. It's good to be with you all for this Christmas concert, which is just such an incredible blessing every year. Not only because the music is so beautiful and powerful and so well done, but because music is such an effective tool for communicating the gospel to us and working it down into our hearts, sometimes in a way that even the spoken word can't. And so I pray this morning that this feast of corporate worship has been healing for you and has fueled your soul for the coming days. Well, this morning we're starting a new sermon series. I don't have a lot of time to set things up, but I am aided by the fact that the stories that we're working with here are likely familiar to many of you all. And I want to just challenge us that we don't allow our familiarity with the story to cause us to miss the weightiness of this moment in the story of redemption, when Christ came down to be God with us. And that's really the theme that I want us to be thinking about throughout this Advent season as we look at these various texts, is to look at these scriptures through the lens of God with us. These stories don't change, but our circumstances change, and we're always changing. And so I hope that this morning, as we talk about a familiar story, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart in a fresh and new way, and just to know that while the meaning doesn't fundamentally change, these stories can impact us in different ways, and God can give us exactly what we need, and we may see something we haven't seen before, see it with a new significance. So this Advent season, as we look at the theme of God's presence, we're focused, of course, not on the presents, as in those that are wrapped up with shiny paper and have bows under the tree, but the presence of God with us that comes to us in a very profound way at Christmas. When the incarnation, when God took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood, this incredible, beautiful, powerful, mind-bending reality that God entered into human history to leave the comfort and the perfection of heaven and to come into our story, into our broken lives, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin. Why? Because he loves us. Because of his mercy, because of his compassion. He did what needed to be done, the unique solution to bridge the gap between sinful humans and a holy God. So Christmas is an annual reminder that this is the story. The story can really be summarized in three simple words: God with us. That's how the story began in the garden. It's how the story will end one day. We're told that we'll be with God, and there will be no more sin or death or crying. And so in between the first coming, or the advent of Christ, and his second coming, this is where we live. We live in this tension. We're in that point in the story when we long for the full redemption of all things. So Christmas is not primarily for eager shoppers looking to snag a great deal and find that perfect gift that'll bring temporary satisfaction. No, Christmas is primarily for weary sinners, all of us struggling to live with faith and hope and love as we sit in between the first and the second advents of Christ. We're people living in that tension. And we can observe this tension in Mary's story. When the angel Gabriel appears to her and says, "You're going to have a baby." Now, not just any baby, he will be great. He will be over the greatest kingdom this world has ever seen, and it will be a kingdom that will not end. Now, Mary's probably thinking a lot of things at this point, amen? But she has an important question. In fact, if you're Mary and you don't ask this question at this point, you are not being very honest with God. I think Mary asks here a very legitimate and profound question that I believe is a great candidate for the best question in the Bible. And that is, how will this be? Right? She says to the angel, how's this going to be? Because, you know, I've never, you know. It's a great question. Now, I think this question is also representative for us. It represents the longing of every human heart. In fact, I would argue that all of us throughout our lives are asking various iterations of this very question. How will this be? We look at situations, we say, how am I going to get through this crisis? How am I going to have enough money to pay these bills? How am I going to have the emotional bandwidth to continue caring for this loved one? How am I going to deal with this crisis in my family situation? We're all asking this question all the time. How will this be? And so what do we need in response to this question? What do we need from God? What did Mary need? Well, first, she needed the assurance that Gabriel offered her at the beginning of their interaction. The assurance that God was with her and has placed his favor and grace upon her. The angel came and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now, this is the language of covenant, of relationship. God has promised that he will be with you and bless you. He told his people in the Old Testament, "I will be your God, you will be my people. I will be with you." Jesus commissioned his disciples to take the good news to the ends of the earth, and he said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now in this new covenant era, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us, this tangible reminder that God is with us. But here's the challenge, the question for all of us to ask. Do I believe this? Do you really believe that God is with you and that if you are in Christ, that you are favored, that he has poured out his grace and his favor, that he will be with you no matter what you face? And is this more than just a doctrinal truth on a paper, part of a creed or a confession? Is it a living anchor for your soul? Is this what gets you through every day and every challenging crisis? The fact that you have the promise that God is with you, that he loves you, that he has set his affection upon you. Because if you are in Christ, friends, this is your absolute assurance. Life will not always be easy. In fact, it rarely is. But God has promised that he will be with you. His presence. Now, you're going to probably keep asking him every day, "God, how will this be?" You're going to have many challenging days here on earth, but daily he will comfort you with his love and his favor. It doesn't mean that his calling on your life won't be for you a kind of crisis. In fact, sometimes his favor and his plan doesn't feel very much like favor to us. And it certainly wasn't the case for Mary. This calling wasn't easy for her. This was not a gender reveal party, right? Where you have the little cupcakes and you bite into it and you find out whether the frosting's pink or blue and everybody goes, "Yay!" It wasn't that kind of deal. This was, for Mary, a crisis. Many people at first or would never understand. This would cause for her social, political, spiritual turmoil. This woman needed the assurance that God was with her and that what was happening to her was actually, in fact, God's favor and God's blessing. Yet the question remains, okay, God, you're with me, you've shown me your favor, but how is this going to happen? And Gabriel answers, sort of, telling her that God's power would accomplish this plan. Not specifics, but a promise that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you and will overshadow you. This language reminds us of the Spirit of God at the very creation, hovering over the waters, bringing order out of chaos. The Holy Spirit that indwelled the temple, right, when it was filled with God's presence and power, this same power would now overshadow Mary, bringing about Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Not only does Mary experience here the incarnation, but we also see that Mary is told about the other great mystery, or one of the other great mysteries, which is the Trinity. It's right here in the text. Notice the Trinitarian language. Through the power of the Most High, the Father, and the overshadowing presence of the Holy Spirit, God would bring about a physical body for the Son of God, which would be brought into the world through the humble servant Mary. Incredible truth revealed to and through this young woman and her story. See, the promise of Christmas is that God accomplishes his plan through supernatural and unlimited power. And salvation must come about in a way that only God could have done it, so that we will see that he has done it and we will give him the glory. It seems that one of the greatest qualifications for being used by God is recognizing that you aren't qualified. Mary joins a long line of servants in the Bible who are among those, the weak and the meek, the poor and the humble, the younger, the smaller, the unlikely. These are exactly the kind of people that God uses. At one point in his story, he told his people, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and he made a covenant promise with your ancestors. He chose you out of his love to use you." That's every single one of us. If you feel unqualified to walk in whatever plan he has for you, then you are in exactly the right place, because he shows his strength in our weakness. Finally, not only does he promise his presence and his power, but it is his promise to us. No word from God will ever fail. And Mary answers, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." The question Luke's gospel confronts us with over and over again is whether or not we will believe that God can and will do what he says he will do. And the answer for Mary, and consequently all of us, to every version of the question, "How will it be?" is that no matter what we face, God will be with us and his perfect power will accomplish his perfect plan, and nothing can stop it. For Mary, that was enough. She didn't get answers to all of her questions that day, and neither do any of us. But we're promised that God has a plan, that he will be with us. His power will accomplish that plan, and nothing that God sets out to do will fail. That's enough, brothers and sisters, for whatever we face today and in the days ahead. May we have eyes of faith to see it and believe it and walk in it. Will you join me as we pray together? Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, boldly proclaimed through music and through reading and understanding your word. Now God, we ask that you will take these truths of Christmas, and though they are familiar, you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and you will make these truths come alive in our life in a fresh and new way, so that we can be your good news people. This will be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.